Hello, everyone. I'm Gorilla Monsoon.
And I'm your host, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
You're not the host. The Sala Monster is.
Never heard of him.
Give me a break. You're listening to The Sala Monster Sounds Off.
Actually, I do know that guy. I think he owes me money.
Oh, will you stop?
Well, it wasn't Puerto Rico, that's for sure. Although most crowds, admittedly, they're not going to be like that crowd we had in San Juan on Saturday night. Honestly, they didn't have much to get excited about tonight in Jacksonville. Outside of the race for second place, which kicked off tonight on Monday Night Raw, the race for second place for the new World Heavyweight Championship, our first two of four triple threat matches that we are getting on television this week, two on Raw, two on SmackDown, to determine who goes to the finals at Night of Champions later this month to crown the very first ever World Heavyweight Champion. Tonight, it was Damian Priest, Seth Rollins, and Shinsuke Nakamura in our first of two triple threat matches with Seth Rollins, to the surprise of no one. Moving on to meet the winner of the other triple threat later in the night with The Miz, Finn Balor, and Cody Rhodes. Now, Cody Rhodes had to be a favorite going into tonight, but if you watch that Backlash show on Saturday night and the way things ended with Cody and Brock, you had to know that we were getting a rematch with Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar. The only question was, how were we going to get there? Once they announced on Sunday that Cody was going to be one of the 12 men in this tournament and Brock was not, you put two and two together, it wasn't hard to figure out what they were going to do tonight. And what you thought they were going to do is exactly what they ended up doing. Because Brock Lesnar showed up tonight on Raw and he cost Cody Rhodes the chance to go to the semifinals to challenge for the championship. He cost Cody the match, laid him out with an F5, and he laid down the gauntlet to a challenge for Night of Champions, not to a match, but to a fight. But that wasn't even the biggest thing about that segment. The biggest thing about that segment involving Brock and Cody is that it featured some of the worst piped-in crowd noise that I have ever heard on this show before. When you are manipulating the crowd audio, when you are manipulating the sound, and it is overcoming the audio from the person's microphone, making it difficult to hear what the person is trying to say, making it sound almost like the microphone wasn't even working, it's time to back off a little bit. It's time to tone things down. The semifinal tonight was Seth Rollins and Finn Balor. That is a rematch of the final for the Universal Championship 7 years ago at SummerSlam when they crowned that champion for the first time. So we had that rematch in the semifinals tonight to close out the show. This was also the first night that the new rosters took effect now with the WWE draft in the books. Tonight was night number one for the new Raw roster, which is there on your screen right now. That is your new Monday Night Raw roster officially as of tonight. And it was not a very exciting start. Outside of the tournament stuff, this was a boring show tonight. But one thing, when I look at this graphic here and I see all of the Monday Night Raw roster lumped together like this, one thing in particular that stands out to me, which I think is a plus, because we talk a lot about the lack of tag teams and the lack of real tag teams in WWE over the past few years, and the need, in my opinion, to have one unified set of tag team champions, as we do now, right? We have the tag belts have been unified since the Usos beat RK-Bro last year, and they're still unified under Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, who were part of this roster. But look at the tag teams that we have on this roster. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are the champions. They are part of Monday Night Raw. But you also have Imperium. You have Alpha Academy. You have the Viking Raiders. You have the Judgment Day, who can team up at any given moment. You have, you know, even Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano. Now it looks like The Way from NXT is reunited on the main roster. They could be a tag team. We had a vignette tonight for Veer and Sangha from NXT, who are about to make their debut very soon. Los Lotharios are on the roster. Maximum Male Models are on the roster. Ricochet and Braun Strowman are on the Raw roster. New Day is on the roster. So for the first time in a very long time, WWE's tag team division, when you look at it on paper like this, and this is just Raw, this doesn't even include SmackDown, is actually pretty strong. Some of these teams, obviously, I mean, they're like jobber teams. They need to be built up a little bit more. But the core is there to have a really solid tag team division. We talk a lot about the AEW tag team division, which, frankly, is not as strong as it used to be. But that is one thing that could be a plus coming out of this draft. But again, for the first night with the rosters going into effect, you take out that tournament stuff, man, and this show was a bore. But one thing we got on this show tonight, we got a hint. We got a hint that a certain someone may be on his way back very soon. He's not a main player. Not yet. Not a main event guy. But there was a tease in a backstage segment that somebody could be on their way back. They've been gone due to injury. Also, I have the bracket just released only a few hours ago for the NXT Women's Championship Tournament with Indy Hartwell forfeiting the title last week. And now she is a part of the Monday Night Raw roster. They're going to crown a new NXT Women's Champion at Battleground later this month, the same night that Double or Nothing is airing. So I have that bracket. I'm going to show you the bracket. And we'll go through who's in the tournament. We'll do that a little bit later on here in the stream. This is your Monday Night Raw review for May 8th, 2023. I am the Solemn Monster. Thanks for hanging out with me here on a Monday night. Hit that subscribe button if you are not already a part of our wonderful family here on this channel. 500 likes is the goal for our Be the Booker segment that we sometimes do at the end of these streams. So I need you to hit that thumbs up 500 times. And if you can do that, we will be the booker a little bit later on. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on screen. I do appreciate the patronage. And I will be reading your messages a little bit later on. We'll be hanging out. And just so you guys know, if you are a channel member, if you are a member on this channel, a paying member, or perhaps you are gifted a membership, you have early access to the latest installment of Sound Off Gamer. In case you missed it earlier today, maybe you were at work. Maybe your notifications are not working or they're not in the on position, which they should be. Sound Off Gamer Episode 6, where do they find these scrubs? Wait until you see the scrubs they had me wrestling in this latest installment of Sound Off Gamer. Anyway, that is up for channel members right now. You guys get early access. Everybody else gets it in a few days. So fresh off his win over Brock Lesnar, at Backlash, Cody Rhodes was out to the ring first here to kick things off for us tonight. They were live in Jacksonville, a place that Cody has a lot of history with and is very familiar with, and he was quick to point that out, actually, at the beginning of this segment. He was actually in his gear. He was in his jacket. Looked like they were going to start things out with his triple threat match. That did not happen. But he said Jacksonville was his home during the pandemic, and they made a lot of memories together. Cody was one of the men who was actually on that first pandemic edition of Dynamite. It was him and the other members of the Elite. Remember, there were no people in the crowd. And Cody and the Bucks and Kenny, they were all there. I think Hangman maybe was there to give a speech and try to make people feel good about themselves. That's what kicked off the pandemic era at Daly's Place. So a lot of history for Cody in that city. He said, made a lot of memories here. Let's make another one tonight. And he said, as far as what's next for him after beating Brock Lesnar, it's what's sitting over there. This is the first time that Cody acknowledged that championship. They had it on the podium last week. He didn't even look at it, which was good. It really shouldn't be his focus. But he's in the tournament, so of course he had to acknowledge it. So he acknowledged that on the podium over on stage was the World Heavyweight Championship. He got out of the ring while he had the mic in his hand, and he's walking down the aisle to the stage where the title was sitting, and he told the production truck to go ahead and throw up the tournament bracket so that we can get a sense of exactly who was in this tournament, and I will show you the bracket. This is the World Heavyweight Championship bracket. Six men from Raw and six men from SmackDown. And the thing that strikes me as I look at the SmackDown side is the fact that of all six SmackDown talents, they have one heel, only one heel on the SmackDown side, that being Austin Theory. Everybody else is considered a babyface. So that's kind of strange. But you got a lot of big names there. I mean, again, you look on the SmackDown side, you got AJ Styles, you've got Edge, Rey Mysterio. Those three are going to have a triple threat match on Friday night. In the other triple threat match, you've got Austin Theory, the United States champion, Bobby Lashley, and Sheamus. Over on the Raw side, what we got tonight? Balor, Rhodes, and Miz, and then Nakamura, Rollins, and Damian Priest. And Cody said that at the end of the entire thing, at the end of it all, Samantha Irvin is going to get on the microphone and is going to proclaim him the new World Heavyweight Champion. And he said, "Let the tournament begin." And Seth Rollins' music played, and Rollins walked out. He passed by Cody like two ships in the night to make his way down to the ring to kick off round number one with the first of two triple threat matches. Rollins was standing in the ring because they went to a commercial break after he got in the ring. So Rollins was standing in the ring the entire commercial break, I guess, as the crowd sang his song for those 4 minutes, I guess it would have been. When they came back, we didn't go to the ring. We had Kathy Kelly in the back by the gorilla position, interviewing Damian Priest. And Damian Priest said, yeah, you know, he lost the Bad Bunny on Saturday, but he said it took an entire island to beat him. Which is true, right? I mean, he didn't mention them by name, but you had Carlito, you had Sabio Vega, you had everybody in that building, even though Damian Priest himself is Puerto Rican, they were fully behind Bad Bunny. Like, everybody was against Damian Priest. So he pointed that out. But he said that we'll see tonight if it's going to be him or Finn Balor who's going on to become the World Heavyweight Champion. Because you got two members of the Judgment Day on the Raw side of the bracket. Priest came out, he had a pronounced limp on his way down to the ring. He was selling the injuries because Bad Bunny took that kendo stick to the knee. Bad Bunny was working the knee over in their match on Saturday. He wrapped his leg around the post. He put him in a figure four leg lock. So Priest was selling the injury. Over 10 minutes had passed from the time that Seth Rollins came to the ring and was standing in the ring singing his song. 10 minutes had passed. He was standing there the entire time. Finally, the match began. So late in the match, Priest was setting up for the Razor's Edge to Seth, got him up for it, but his knee gave out. Rollins performed the stomp on Priest, had him dead to rights, but Nakamura broke up the pin. Rollins was staring a hole. I like this part because Rollins is down, right? He knew he had the match won. And Nakamura basically just cost him the championship, and he kind of slowly turns. His eyes are all bugging out of his head, and he's looking at Nakamura like, "You screwed me." So Nakamura looked at him, and he motioned for him to come on. They traded strikes. Nakamura got the better of things. He set up for the Kinshasa. Priest, though, came back in. He clotheslined. He almost took Nakamura inside out. Priest threw Rollins to the floor. He went after Nakamura, who threw some kicks at Damian's bad knee. And then Nakamura got a cool transition into a knee bar. Priest was in agony. He was seconds away, it looked like, from tapping out. And they did a good job here of keeping a tight camera shot so we could not see Seth Rollins up on the top rope. So then he came flying, it looked like, from out of nowhere, off the top rope with a frog splash to Nakamura. He even rotated his body in midair. Very, very Montez Ford-like, the way that Rollins pulled this off. Priest, in the meantime, Priest rolled to the floor holding his knee. And Rollins delivered a pedigree to Nakamura and pinned him. So if this were 2K23, the stomp is Rollins' primary finish. His secondary finish is the pedigree, which he sometimes wins with. So he won here with the pedigree to advance to the next round of the tournament later on in the show. I thought it was a good match with a cool finish. I liked the finish. I was surprised they had Nakamura be the one to take the losing fall, his first loss ever on Monday Night Raw. Yeah, he spent the last 7 years, they said, on SmackDown. It's hard to believe he's been there for that long. But he's spent his entire main roster run has been on SmackDown. I don't even know. As I think back now, over the years, we've had, you know, commingling of rosters occasionally before Survivor Series and Royal Rumble. I don't remember Nakamura ever having a match on Raw. I'm not saying he never did. I just don't have any recollection of it. So I'm pretty sure that was his first ever loss on Raw. But I was surprised they had him take it and not Damian Priest. Once I saw Priest come out for the match and he was limping down to the ring, I said, well, there's his out, you know, if he takes the fall. I'm actually happy they didn't do that, though. That would have been back-to-back losses for him in 48 hours. I like the fact that they did not have him lose, you know, twice in 2 days. So, to the back, we had Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci of Imperium. No Gunther, but they were going around to anybody who would listen, including Akira Tozawa, who came walking by, letting everybody know that the Ring General, Gunther, will be on Raw next week. He was not there tonight. And they looked over and they spotted, off camera, they spotted Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who were in the middle of a conversation. And they interrupted them, and Zayn said, look, we're in the middle of something here. If you could just give us 5 minutes. Kaiser said they were Imperium. They were not to be disrespected. And Zayn said, well, you'll still be Imperium in 5 minutes if you just wait a little bit. So Owen said, look, I can't concentrate with these guys standing here. And Vinci, his finger, he was waving his finger in their face. Owens wondered if Kaiser and Vinci were just henchmen for Gunther, in the same way like the Usos were for Roman Reigns. And they wondered, he started wondering, why are there so many henchmen in WWE? Zayn said that they dealt with the bloodline for months, but they would take care of Imperium in one night. He challenged them to wrestle in the ring tonight. Imperium accepted, and so the match was obviously non-title, and so the match was made. We had Otis escorted to the ring by Chad Gable and Maxxine Dupri coming out to take on the free agent, Mustafa Ali. He is not attached to Monday Night Raw. He is not attached to SmackDown. He is a free agent who they can pretty much just plug in wherever, whenever. And so tonight he was on Raw. Maxxine was giving instructions to Otis from the outside. Kevin Patrick said that Gable wanted Otis to do a caterpillar. Maxxine was against it. Otis charged Ali, who moved, causing Otis to crash into the corner. He went down, and Ali came off the top with a 450 splash and got the win. He actually won the match. They went 2 minutes. The match itself didn't matter. Sorry, Ali, I know you won, but it didn't mean anything. It was just background noise for the story of Maxxine and Chad Gable and Otis and the miscommunication, and the dissension that's forming in the ranks. That was the story here. Yeah. Ali winning the match was a means to an end. It's not a push for Ali. It doesn't involve him. It doesn't matter. So he's not even on the Raw roster. And by the way, they haven't even explained to us what his free agent status means beyond the fact that he could just show up whenever they need him. I mean, he won here. Does that earn him a Raw contract? I mean, we don't know. We don't know. We have the floating free agents that they can just pretty much use in any way that they want. The Miz was in the back. And he was in the gorilla position. He was looking into the camera. And he was delivering a short promo before he came out for his triple threat match. And he told us that we would put respect on his name when he wins the tournament and wins the World Heavyweight Championship. I tried not to laugh. And it got me thinking. And I said, I'm curious. So I went to go check The Miz's record so far this year. And I checked. And do you know that so far here this year, The Miz has yet to win a match in 2023? Not one match has The Miz won. It's now May. We're almost at the midway point of the year. He has yet to win a match. But he said, we'll put respect on his name here if he wins in this match. So Cody maintained control through a commercial break. On the other side of the commercial, he caught Balor and Miz with a double Cody cutter, came off and just grabbed both their heads and took them down. Double Cody cutter coming off the ropes. Balor blocked a crossroads attempt. Cody hit a disaster kick, though, for two. Balor hit Cody with a shotgun dropkick and went up top of the coup de grace, but Cody avoided it, and Miz gave Balor a skull-crushing finale. Rhodes broke up the pin. Cody gave Balor a crossroads. Miz tried to steal the pin. He threw Cody out of the ring and went to go take the pin away from him. Cody, though, popped right back into the ring to break up the attempt. Rhodes gave Miz three consecutive crossroads, and he had the match won, right? Obviously, this was going to be it. Cody was going to win, and we were going to get Cody and Rollins part four. Well, not so fast, because Brock Lesnar had other ideas. Brock Lesnar appeared out of nowhere. He yanked Cody out of the ring. He gave him an F5 on the floor outside. And as Lesnar was staring down at Cody's body, we could see Balor up on the top rope. And he came off the top with a double stomp to The Miz, and he pinned The Miz. So Finn Balor advances to the semifinals later in the night against Seth Rollins. Brock Lesnar was not done. He picked up Cody Rhodes. He delivered an F5 through the announce table. Brock had a nasty gash from Saturday right between the eyes. And this was no blade. For people who were wondering, you know, there were still people coming out of the pay-per-view who were wondering if maybe he quickly bladed himself or something. He didn't blade himself. It's like, I think WrestleMania 31 is another example of this, which would have been the first match I think he ever had with Roman Reigns, I think is where this happened, where I think Brock may have gone headfirst into the ring post. Brock has a tendency, when he bleeds, to bleed hard way on purpose. So as much as he dishes it out to people, he's also willing to take it, which, you know, I mean, it's kind of stupid, I think, to bust yourself open like that and bash your head into fucking ring post or the exposed steel. It's not a smart thing to be doing. You know, you can concuss yourself. I mean, there's a lot of things that can go wrong there, but he cracked his own head open for the sake of the match. That blood on Saturday was absolutely planned, because Brock Lesnar is going to do what Brock Lesnar wants to do. Doesn't mean that everybody is allowed to do that now. Oh, we're going to get blood now on WWE television. No, I mean, Brock Lesnar is going to do whatever the hell he wants. It's like the idea that he was bleeding on Saturday, and oh, maybe that wasn't supposed to happen, and the referee's gonna go in there and tell him, look, we're going to stop the match so we can clean up the cut. Are you kidding me? Brock would murder that referee if he even attempted such a thing. If I were the referee, I certainly don't want to be the one to go over and tell Brock, hey, we're going to halt the match. So, no, that was hard way. It was real, and it was a deep gash. It was all stitched up right between the eyes. So he grabbed the microphone. He demanded the microphone. And he made sure to look into the camera. He wanted everybody to see the scar on his face. His new scar that I'm sure he'll end up with now, to join the other scar on his face that Cain Velasquez gave him over a decade ago. But this is where things got weird. Because when Brock had the microphone, he started to speak, and it sounded like maybe the microphone wasn't on, it wasn't working at first, which I will tell you, when he started speaking and I really was having trouble hearing what he was saying, I said, I don't want to be that technician that has to tell him, hey, your mic's not working. So, but then you could hear him, but he was very low. But the thing is, and this is one of the ways you can tell when they're piping in crowd noise, they have this track that they will sometimes use. And they did this a lot during the Thunderdome shows, which at least then I understood, because you wanted to have some ambient noise in the background. That's what started all this. And like I said, when they first started letting people back into the buildings, I said, no, they have their new play toy. Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon, they have their new play toy. They're going to continue to manipulate the crowd reactions, which really sucks, because the whole point, you know, when it comes to wrestling is the crowd is supposed to dictate what's working and what's not. They dictate what they like and what they don't like. And when you start, you know, overdoing it on the sweetening of the crowd and you're manipulating the reactions to what you want them to be, it's the antithesis, in my opinion, of what pro wrestling is supposed to be. But there was a track they would use where it was just this constant, almost like low-level booing or just noise, right? But you could just tell, because it was just so constant. There was no interruption in it. And that's kind of what we had here. The problem is, whatever soundtrack they were playing, it was interfering with the audio from Brock's microphone, where it was hard to hear him. And maybe the mic itself was also low, but they were doing that as well. And it created this situation where it's like, it just sounded like absolute shit. The audio situation in this, usually it's AEW that has the audio problems every week. But the audio situation here was just completely fucked. The one thing that they could not mask were some of the one more time chants after he gave Cody the F5 through the table. I did hear some of those chants, and you couldn't hide those. But he said, so Cody, what do you want to talk about? And he knelt down beside Cody. He grabbed his head, and he told him he wanted to talk about me. He said, me, me, me. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. He took issue with Cody taking credit for what happened to his face. He said Cody lucked into that at Backlash. He said, I want to fight. You, me, Night of Champions. What do you say? Who's the coward now? And he went to go leave. Officials came out. I saw Jason Jordan in there. As Brock is walking past the podium on stage with the title belt, he stopped. And he peered over to take a look at the World Heavyweight Championship. And he smirked. He looked back at Cody. He kind of laughed. Because he realized, you know, that he cost Cody the championship. And he was proud of himself. You know, it was payback for what Cody did to him on Saturday. So we got the predictable interference by Lesnar to cost Cody the title. Which I like because it takes Cody out of the tournament. I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record here, but the story is with Roman. The story for Cody is not the big gold belt. So the less he did in this tournament, the better, because that's just not the direction they should be going in with him. That's not his story. When he talks about finishing the story, it's his whole gimmick. Since he came back, it's about finishing the story. The story is not with the World Heavyweight Championship. And so that was a logical way of taking him out of the equation. But what it feels to me, you know, when this segment was over, it felt to me like they're setting up a three-match program between these two. We had the first match at Backlash. We're going to have the second match, a fight. I don't know if it's going to be a street. We just had a street fight. So is it going to be another street fight, or is there going to be some sort of special stipulation for it? You know, are they going to do it like an old Lion's Den type, you know, MMA cage type deal? I don't know. All Brock said was he wanted a fight. Brock could win the second one. That would then set up a third and final match between them. I could definitely see that happening. The problem is, the third match would have to be either a Money in the Bank or it's SummerSlam. Because they have no pay-per-views in the month of June. So you have Night of Champions, you have nothing until Money in the Bank. Cody Rhodes, if he's going to wrestle Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, the only way for him to get to that match, the only path to Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, as opposed to WrestleMania next year, is to win Money in the Bank. It's the only way. Now that they have separated them from each other on these rosters, the only hope that Cody would have of challenging Roman Reigns is to win the briefcase and then call his shot. Well, if he's wrestling Brock Lesnar at Money in the Bank, he can't be in the Money in the Bank match. And if he's not wrestling him at Money in the Bank and they are going to wrestle again, SummerSlam is the only time. And that means that Roman Reigns indeed is going to be the champion at least through WrestleMania next year, which I think is ridiculous. So that timeline don't work for me. That's my only concern in all this. If Cody goes to Night of Champions and wins, then that's it. He's now beaten Brock twice, and that paves the way for him to participate in Money in the Bank in July. But it just feels to me like we may be going to a three-match series with these two. And time is not on Cody's side if that's the case. Not if he wants the match with Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. Doesn't work out. We had the SmackDown Women's Champion, now on Raw, Rhea Ripley, going one-on-one with Dana Brooke. It was only the first night of these new rosters here tonight, but they still have not addressed what they are going to do to remedy the fact that we have the SmackDown Women's title on Raw and the Raw Women's title on SmackDown. You can rename the belts, which I'd be fine with that, but it doesn't change the fact you have a red belt and a blue belt. So renaming them doesn't really accomplish anything. If they are working on new physical belts that don't have a specific name or color on them, that's fine too. I have no idea if that, I mean, that's something they would have to already have, you know, stored away and not first be creating them. I have not heard anything about them making new belts that don't have the red or blue color to it. So that would only leave a belt swap as the only other option. But I'm surprised they didn't mention that at all. There's still no indication of how they're going to fix that situation, even though the new rosters officially now, as of tonight, have gone into effect. What little offense Dana got here, the crowd didn't care because they have no reason to care. You know, she's an enhancement talent. That's it. When was the last time we even saw Dana Brooke on Raw? Once they did away with the 24/7 nonsense, I don't think we've seen her on Raw at all. Maybe not once. So, of course, the crowd didn't care. She's enhancement talent. She is there to enhance the other talent that she is in the ring with. Rhea Ripley does not need any enhancement in any way, but especially in the ring. She doesn't need any enhancement. Rhea gave her the Riptide and then applied the Prism Lock for the quick tap out. This did not go very long. After the match, Ripley put her back in the Prism Lock and was refusing to let go of the hold when Natalya's music played. And she took her sweet time coming down to the ring. She was in no great rush to help out. I can't even say this was a save. A save would imply that she actually was trying to come down to the ring to rescue Dana Brooke, and she didn't look all that interested in that at all. She was just taking her time, walking down to the ring. Meanwhile, Rhea still has the hold applied. She's not letting go. Finally, she let go once Natty hit the ring. Two of them went nose to nose, and Rhea left with Dom. So Rhea and Natalya. This is going to be Rhea Ripley's first feud, it appears, here on Monday Night Raw. It feels like we're going backwards in the women's division. You know, Natty is like Dolph Ziggler. She's a solid hand. She's been there forever. She's been women's champion, women's tag team champion. She has been there for ages in this company. And she's a solid hand to have on the roster so that when they need her in a situation or if they need her in a pinch, or they want to pair her up with somebody and try to form some new women's tag team because they don't have any fucking tag teams, that's where somebody like Natty can be useful at this stage. What Natty should not be used for is the focal point of a championship feud. Nobody asked for this. You know, the problem, I guess, when you really look, and I don't have the, I mean, I could put the roster back up here. Let me put the roster back up. Take a look at this Raw roster again. Because there are a lot of women here in this graphic, right? Obviously, you got Rhea. She's the champion. Liv and Raquel are the women's tag team champions. So we'll put them on the side for now because they're doing the tag team thing. Becky Lynch is in a feud with Trish Stratus, and Trish is not full-time anyway, right? So Becky is occupied with Trish. And we don't need Becky back in the women's title picture so soon anyway, just like we don't need Charlotte back in the women's title picture for a while. So what does that leave us with? We have Caden Carter and Katana Chance, who are a tag team from NXT. They have not debuted yet. We have Candice LeRae, who is not over. She's not anywhere close to being over for a women's championship push. We have Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. Ronda, at least, is hurt, but they're a tag team now. So again, we'll put them on the side. Indy Hartwell, only first debuted tonight. Still hasn't even had her first match on Raw. Zoe Stark, who I'm going to talk about in a second, she only first had her match on Raw tonight. Maxine Dupri is not wrestling for them. Sarah Logan has not wrestled since she came back. Sonya and Chelsea are a team. We have Xia Li. We have Dana Brooke. We have Emma. We have Nikki Cross. We have Tegan Knox. And we have Piper Niven. So there's a bunch of women that are on this roster. I'm not seeing any women's championship feuds here that are setting the world on fire. So that's the problem. That's one of the reasons why they are leaning on Natty right now. Because it's going to take time to build up Zoe Stark. It's going to take time to get people to care about Piper Niven, who absolutely should be built up at some point to challenge for the title. Tegan Knox. Maybe Emma. Again, you can't just throw these women in there for a championship match. So when you look at it like that, it's like, well, yeah, I can understand why they're going to Natty, but that's a terrible sign that this is the best that they could come up with for now because they first have to build up all of these women who have not been featured or they put them on television and they don't do anything with them and then they disappear. Like I said, the women's division has gone backwards. It has been in shambles outside of whatever that top program is. It has been largely in shambles now for months under Triple H. Can't just lay that at the feet of Vince McMahon. This is one of his greatest failures. So it's going to take time. A lot of women on that roster. And yet they don't have anybody who is in a position right now who isn't already, you know, like Becky working with somebody else to step in and challenge Rhea Ripley and challenge Rhea in a believable way. Now, Zelina Vega wrestled her at Backlash on Saturday, and it was great for Zelina. They were in Puerto Rico, so it was like a hometown thing for her. The crowd loved her for that reason. But Zelina Vega also, I mean, did anybody buy into the fact that Zelina Vega was going to beat Rhea Ripley? I mean, talk about a mismatch. I look at this Raw roster, I'm like, who can believably step up to Rhea Ripley at this point? There's nobody. There's Becky Lynch, and that's a match that you save for down the road. You know, that could be a WrestleMania match next year, possibly. Just like Bianca and Charlotte. You don't jump right into that when Charlotte comes back. You wait. You build that up for WrestleMania 40. But what do you do in the meantime? That's the challenge. Now, Zoe Stark was in the very next segment backstage, challenging Nikki Cross to her first match on Raw. Zoe is new. So they have to first establish her and you know, build her resume up and give her some wins on the main roster. Indy Hartwell is another one, too. She needs some credibility-building wins before you can even think about her having anything to do with the championship.
This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Everybody knows about their web browser's incognito mode, but have you ever taken the time to read the fine print when you open it up? It says your activity might still be visible to your employer, to your school, or your internet service provider. That doesn't really sound very incognito to me. If you want to really stop people from seeing the sites that you visit, you need to do what I do and use ExpressVPN. Just think of all the times that you have used Wi-Fi at a hotel, at an arena, maybe if you're there for SmackDown or Dynamite, if they have free Wi-Fi, even at your parents' house. Without ExpressVPN, every site you visit can be logged by whoever is running that network. If your privacy is important to you, you don't want other people to know every website that you're on. Even scarier, here in the U.S., your home internet provider can record your browsing data and then sell that data to advertisers. ExpressVPN is an app that encrypts all of your network data and reroutes it through a network of secure servers so your private online activity stays private. ExpressVPN works on all of your devices also. It's unbelievably easy to use. It's what I like most about it. You tap one button to connect, and just like that, your activity is secure from prying eyes. So stop letting strangers invade your online privacy. Protect yourself at expressvpn.com/solomonster. Use my link at expressvpn.com/solomonster to get 3 extra months free. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster to learn more.
Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Non-title match here against Imperium. Owens cleared Kaiser from the ring with a stunner. Owens super kicked Vinci, and then Zayn tagged in, blasted Vinci with a haluva kick and covered him for the win. We missed a good chunk of this match during the commercial break, which was a shame. But what we got here was good. What I did not like is the fact that Vinci and Kaiser here in their first match on Raw were put right in the ring with the tag team champions and they lost. Because Vinci and Kaiser against Owens and Zayn is something they could have built up as a program, and they still could. But why you would just kind of throw them out there like that in that way on night number one, it's not as if they were winning matches on Friday. And I said this last week, that one of my concerns is that Gunther's going to be just fine. But yeah, I mean, they said, oh, henchmen. That's what they are. They're Gunther's henchmen. You know, and they're a very good team. But in no way have they been built up as anything credible on the main roster on Fridays. I don't see that changing on Mondays. And we got a taste of why tonight. Certainly no indication that they're going to be built up as a team to challenge for the championships anytime soon. Backstage. Speaking of champions, we had Sonya Deville and Liv Morgan. Or not Liv Morgan. We had Sonya Deville and Shelton. See, now I'm really mixing the teams up. We had Shelton Benjamin. What? We had Sonya Deville. I'm going to get this right. We had Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green. There we go. Not Shelton Benjamin. Not Liv Morgan. I swear I haven't been drinking. I swear that tonight this is just water in this mug. I swear. Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green, they're collecting signatures on a petition in the back. Petition that will get them a shot at the Women's Tag Team Championship. So they got Xia Li to sign the petition, even though Xia Li had no idea what the petition was for. She nonetheless signed the petition anyway. So then we saw Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell all standing together. And they were approached by Sonya and Chelsea to sign the petition. And they didn't know what they should do, so they turned and they said, "Hey, Dexter, what should we do?" And then the camera panned out and we saw Dexter Lumis. And he looked at the petition and then he looked up and he gave it the thumbs down. So they handed the petition back and they never signed it. And that was pretty much the end of that. So yeah, we got the way from NXT. We got the way from NXT here, reunion on Monday Night Raw. Gargano said that it was great to have the family back together again and that he was coming back soon. And it was almost like a passing mention. They didn't dwell on it too much or anything like that. And then they kind of moved on, said the next segment. Most people would probably assume that he was referring to Austin Theory. Because when The Way was a thing on NXT, it was Gargano, Candice, and their kids were Theory and Indy. And Dexter came in later on as the boyfriend for Indy Hartwell. So you might think, well, might be referring to Austin Theory here. That doesn't make any sense, though, because Austin Theory is on SmackDown now. Austin Theory is no longer on Monday Night Raw. And Austin Theory is beyond all of this. You know, he's playing more of a serious character now. The Way was always played up for comedy and lighthearted stuff. So, no, I don't think Johnny was talking about Austin Theory. I think Johnny was talking about Tommaso Ciampa. Tommaso Ciampa has been gone for a very long time. He had a surgery. It might have been a hip thing. He's been out for a while now, rehabbing and trying to come back. And that's my sense, is that Tommaso Ciampa is on his way back, and that is great news, because Tommaso Ciampa was just starting to really get going on Raw when he got hurt. He was doing the stuff with The Miz at the time, which, again, didn't make much sense to me. Now they don't even have to acknowledge it. You know, whenever Ciampa's ready to come back, the stuff with Miz, it's over. It's done. You don't need to put the two of them back together just to split them up, right? It was a thing. It's over. Most people have probably forgotten about it by now. Tommaso Ciampa comes back. He could be like Uncle Tommaso, even though he was never officially a part of The Way. But I love the idea, if that is where this is going, of having Ciampa come back as a babyface and be aligned with them in some way, because we need that DIY reunion. I was running down all of the tag teams a little bit earlier on, right? Quite a few of them on Monday Night Raw. You want to give a real boost to that tag team division? You want to build up a credible tag team that could add some great fucking matches with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn later this summer or even in the fall? Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn against Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano? You going to tell me you wouldn't want to see that match? If you were a fan of DIY and NXT, that you wouldn't want to see them on the main roster against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? Well, guess what? They're all on the same roster now. That is a match that you can build to. So I have hope that is the direction that we are going in. And I know some people would rather Gargano or even Ciampa, more so than Gargano, would get a singles run and do his own thing. And I get that. And I think at some point we'll get that. But if that's the case, even more sense it makes to put the two of them together first as DIY. It would be a crime for us not to get a DIY run on the main roster like what we got in NXT. They're too good of a team together to not take advantage of that. You do the team thing first, because they also play well off each other. And Johnny Gargano has done nothing of note. He feuded with The Miz. That's nothing since coming to the main roster. This is not the Johnny Gargano that I watched and was entertained by and liked in NXT. You know, we haven't seen that Johnny Gargano yet on the main roster. It's better to have him with other people. It's better to have him and Ciampa play off each other because that's where they really made a name for themselves in NXT. And then they went off and they feuded and they did their own thing. Do the team first, then split them off. They could both get a singles run. But I think that's the he that Johnny Gargano was referring to here in this segment. So we had Zoe Stark one-on-one with Nikki Cross. This did not last very long, but for the time that it got, I thought that it was a good showing for Zoe. You know, this is her very first match here on Monday Night Raw. She won with her Z360 finish, where she flips her opponent over basically into a GTS. Zoe is very good. You've heard me talk about her in the NXT reviews and even in the draft stuff. Last week I talked about her, and I don't ever see her being someone who is the focal point of the women's division, like a long-standing women's champion. I think she'll be women's champion at least once at some point. But I see her, I compared her to Victoria in that way, where Victoria was a former women's champion, but she was never really the focal point. But she was somebody who you could put some of the other women in the ring with, and she would probably give them their best match. And that's how I see Zoe Stark. Solid in the ring. Has to develop her personality a little bit more. We got to see a little bit of that a couple of years ago when they had her teaming up with Io Sky. I remember, in particular, there was one segment where they bonded over some sushi. I mean, they were doing some skits like that, so we got to see some of Zoe's personality. She's going to have to develop her promo and personality skills more on the main roster. But her in-ring work, I think, is already solid. Now she's basically starting all over again. Totally new audience. Totally fresh start for her. I also have no idea, to go back to Nikki Cross for a second, I have no idea if Nikki Cross, if they've dropped this stalker storyline that she was doing with Candice LeRae. I mean, not that you give a shit, I'm sure, but they have done these segments even as recently as a few weeks ago where Candice was basically saying, why are you stalking me? She saw Nikki in the crowd. Why are you doing this to me? They were both on the show tonight and there was no interaction between the two of them at all. So I don't know if that's just been dropped. I have no idea. But there was certainly no mention of it tonight. Rhea Ripley was interviewed backstage by Byron Saxton. She had Dominic with her. And she was interrupted by Xavier Woods and Akira Tozawa, who were laughing about something. Dominic said, you're interrupting mommy here. He scolded them. And Woods told Dominic to relax. Dominic threatened to punch him. And this led to a challenge, to a match later on tonight. Then we had Trish Stratus out to the ring for a promo. She was wearing a Becky Lynch missing poster t-shirt. She asked if anybody had seen Becky, and then she looked over at Kevin Patrick outside the ring, and I guess assumed that he would be especially upset that his fellow countryman or countrywoman, although she calls herself the man, right? So countryman was missing, and she said, "Go Ireland," trying to cheer him up. Stratus said that Becky was probably hanging out with her dumb daughter. How old is Becky's daughter? 2? I think she's 2. She was hanging out with her dumb daughter. You know it was dumb. This segment was dumb. She called Raw her show. She said no one would steal her spotlight, not even Becky freaking Lynch. All of a sudden, Becky's music hit. They tried to do the whole Shawn Michaels in Montreal thing when he played Brett's music and place went nuts, and Brett never came out, and Sean laughed. So, of course, it was a fake out. It was a dead giveaway that it was a fake out, just based on how Trish overreacted. So, Becky never did come out. And Trish was laughing at the fans. She claimed Becky was never coming back. The crowd chanted for Becky, as Trish told a story about her own daughter wanting to name her doll after Becky. Before she could continue with her story, Becky's music hit again. This time, Becky appeared in the ring behind Trish. Trish didn't know it at first. Eventually, Trish turned around Becky decked her and then gave her a Bexploder suplex, and Trish hightailed it out of the ring. Up the ramp, Becky picked up the microphone and said, "You want me, Trish? I'm right here. The man has come around to kick your ass." I didn't think this segment was very good. I thought this segment was actually pretty bad, to be honest with you. But, you know, the beatdown was what it was. We haven't seen Becky in a few weeks. This was her big return. Yeah, I saw some reports earlier today that there was going to be a major return or a big return on Raw tonight. I guess that was it. I guess Becky Lynch was the big return. It's pretty fucking lame. I guess that was the big return. It didn't even feel like she was gone for that long. I mean, WrestleMania was 4 weeks ago. The turn happened, was it the Monday after Mania that it happened? It was either the Monday after or the following week. It's not like she's been gone for very long. So it looks like they're going to probably be doing that match in Saudi Arabia. Because they're not going to do that match on television. And there's no pay-per-views after that until July. So it looks like they're going to very likely do that match at Night of Champions. So this talk about Becky and Trish at SummerSlam, I don't know if that's been sped up or if that's going to be the rematch between them. I have no idea. I don't see how they can wait that long, though, to do the first match. You can't. You can't wait that long. So we're going to get it at the end of the month. Xavier Woods, one-on-one with Dominic Mysterio. Woods was on offense. Dominic back body dropped him out of the ring, and it looked like Woods' face kind of clipped the ring steps on his way down. Woods fought back with a rolling clothesline and a tornado DDT for two. Dominic came back with a spinning back elbow. Then he took too much time gloating, and Woods tripped him, draped him over the top rope, you know, his body over the top rope, and then hit a drop kick off the top, right to the back of his head. So the Nyla Rose move, basically, if you watch Nyla in AEW. Woods went for his coast-to-coast flying springboard elbow, but Rhea Ripley yanked Dominic out of the way. I'm not sure how the referee didn't see that. Evidently, he did not. Dominic then rolled up Woods and stacked him for the pin. So, a win for Dom Dom here on this show. We got a quick video showing Veer and Sangha from NXT with Jinder Mahal doing the narration and then, you know, talking them up. And then Jinder appeared at the end of the segment in between them. Yeah, I think they'll be a solid addition to the tag division. Two big guys. I was liking the character development they were doing with Sangha in NXT before they sent Veer back down there. And when they sent Veer down there and then Jinder went down there, Sangha went back to being this kind of silent enforcer type. Yeah, just kind of like the big brute. But I was enjoying the personality type stuff that they were doing with him, and he was, you know, cutting promos more often. He's pretty good. I think Sangha, you know, Veer too possibly, but Sangha in particular, don't, you know, count him out. He might be somebody to watch who I think, even beyond this team, they might be able to get more out of him than most people would expect. Elsewhere, The Miz was with Shinsuke Nakamura, and he was complaining to Nakamura. And he complained about the fact that, you see, I told you, if you and I just worked together, we could take this place over as our own, but you didn't take me up on my offer. You insulted me. I lost my match. You lost your match. So he wanted to say, look, I'm willing to let bygones be bygones. And forget about how you disrespected me. You and I should team up, man. We could take this whole place over together. It will be Ms. K. Nakamura. And Nakamura said, do you know what I'm thinking? A match next week. And Miz said, yeah. He goes, it's going to be The Miz. It's going to be Shinsuke Nakamura one-on-one. And it's going to be awesome. Not what Miz was expecting. Not what I was hoping for either. I'm getting weird, kind of like odd couple pairing vibes now from these two. They may put them together as a tag team. That's exactly what Nakamura needs. To be tag team partners with The Miz. I don't know if they're going to do that or not, but we're getting another match between them next week. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, they approached Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville on the back. They said Green and Deville should have just stepped up and asked for a title shot if you wanted one instead of going around with your petition. And Liv Morgan signed the petition, and Green and Deville laughed and said that we're banking on damage control, beating you first for those belts on SmackDown this Friday. So Friday night, it is going to be Liv Morgan and Raquel defending against Bayley and Dakota Kai. The winners of that match will defend their titles against Chelsea and Sonya next Monday on Raw. Kathy Kelly was backstage with Cody Rhodes. She asked him how disappointed he was after what happened earlier tonight to be out of contention for the World Heavyweight Championship. Cody said that he doesn't feel good and he won't be the first champion in a tournament that he said respectfully was mine to win. He said, this is now the second time that Brock Lesnar has attacked me for no reason. And basically, he said, Brock can't handle the fact that he's been the alpha male around here for so long, and now Cody is the man. He says, Brock sees his grip on the main event slipping away. He sees his iron grip on the main event scene being over. He says, you want to fight me at Night of Champions? I accept. So it is official. It will be Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar in a fight. I guess it's just no disqualification. Main event was the semifinal in the World Heavyweight Championship Tournament, one of these semifinal matches. Seth Rollins one-on-one with Finn Balor. They're doing this new thing now with Rollins when he comes out to the ring. They did it in the triple threat match earlier, and they did it again here in this match, where Rollins will come to the ring, and of course, he'll stand there, he'll put his arms out, and the crowd, right? Everyone's singing his song, which honestly, it's getting very old. So they're singing his song. But what they do is when he hits the ring, they will like abruptly cut his theme music off as he stands in the ring. But it's just so sudden, like the fans aren't expecting it. It's like they're trying to like incorporate these new elements into it. Actually made things worse, I think. It's just such an awkward, abrupt cut. Instead of just letting the music play, fading it out, and then letting the crowd sing. I don't know. I don't like it. It's this new element they've added to his entrance. I think it was better the way it was before. So Balor delivered a buckle bomb on the outside to Rollins into the barricade in a callback to their SummerSlam match from 2016 when Rollins gave him a buckle bomb, and that's the move that injured Balor and forced him to relinquish the Universal title on Raw the very next night. Rollins was selling his arm as he made a comeback after the final break. Rollins went to the top rope for a frog splash. Balor, though, on the way down, Balor got his knees up, and he applied a Fujiwara armbar. Balor's mouth got bloodied in here somewhere. I didn't see how. He put down Rollins with a standing double stomp. He went up top. Rollins, though, caught him and took him down with a superplex. He tried to immediately follow through with a Falcon Arrow, but Balor countered into the 1916 inverted DDT for a near fall. I hate that spot. I hate that. I hate that Balor gets superplexed from the top rope. It was a big one, too, right? He got him all the way up, right? Big superplex off the top rope. And Balor just totally no-sells the move. We've seen Rollins do that superplex into a Falcon Arrow hundreds of times, right? And so I understand this was Balor countering that into something else, but in doing so, it just completely negated the superplex. Another one of these moves that used to be a big spot, and now it doesn't mean anything at all. It means something when Randy Orton does it. Randy Orton would often do a big superplex as part of his arsenal in his matches. But literally, just superplexed the guy off the top rope and popped right up, and Balor just went right into his move. Like it meant nothing at all. Balor kicked Rollins' bad shoulder and then drop kicked him into the corner. Balor went up top for his finish again, but Rollins this time avoided it and hit a one-arm pedigree. A one-arm pedigree connects. He covered Balor. Balor kicked out at two. Rollins set up for the stomp. Balor avoided it. He tried to roll him up. Rollins rolled through, and as soon as he got up, he stomped Balor's face. So basically an inverted stomp. And I thought maybe that was where his mouth got bloodied, but his mouth was already bloody before that. So an inverted stomp, and then he hit a normal stomp, stomped him right into the mat, and he got the pinfall to advance to the finals. So Seth Rollins will now meet the winner of the SmackDown side of the bracket at Night of Champions. As ridiculous as it is that SmackDown is involved in this at all, there's the bracket. Rollins will meet one of those six men on the right side of your screen. Now, Austin Theory, as I said before, is the lone heel on the SmackDown side of the equation here. Rollins against AJ Styles would be the match that I want to see the most. And Styles beating Theory in the semifinal before losing to Rollins at Night of Champions could also be a way for them to give a Styles Theory program for the United States Championship coming out of everything. So, see, that would make sense in a way. That would make sense. But I think what we're going to get is Seth Rollins against Edge. That's my prediction. I think we're going to get Rollins and Edge, who obviously have a history together, rekindling that feud. Edge won that feud. But I think Seth Rollins against Edge, and Seth Rollins is the new World Heavyweight Champion coming out of Night of Champions. That's my prediction. I enjoyed the tournament matches tonight. I did enjoy the tournament matches and Owens and Zayn against Imperium, and not much else. I actually thought that this was a pretty boring show outside of the tournament stuff. Certainly not their best foot forward for the first big Raw coming out of the draft. Not too much on this show tonight to get excited about. Next Monday, Gunther makes his Raw debut. There's something to get excited about. I know Gunthar will be back with us next week when Gunther makes his debut on Raw. Nakamura wrestles The Miz, and as I said before, Sonya Deville and Chelsea Green will challenge for the women's tag team titles, likely against Liv and Raquel, because I don't see Damage Control winning those belts. In fact, coming out of what happened at Backlash, I think Io Sky is going to factor into that finish in some way. There could be, I smell a distraction spot of some kind. And that will likely cost Bayley and Dakota the match, just like Bayley cost Io the match against Bianca Belair the other night. So that's the lineup right now for Raw next Monday. Take a look at the Twitter poll. 59% thumbs up for tonight's show compared to 40% thumbs down. And that is with just shy of 1,000 votes. We're closing in on 1,000 votes in for the show tonight, so go ahead and vote at Solomonster if you have not already done so. Please go ahead and let me know what you thought about the show. Now, I didn't mention that not only do we have this World Heavyweight Championship tournament, but WWE now is going tournament crazy because we have a second tournament that is about to be ongoing, and that is, of course, the tournament to crown a new NXT women's tag team or women's champion. There's so many tag team titles, I'm getting confused here. The NXT Women's Championship tournament, because Indy Hartwell has vacated her title, and so on May 28th at Battleground, we will crown a new NXT Women's Champion, and this is the bracket here. On one side, we have Gigi Dolin against Tiffany Stratton, Roxanne Perez against JC Jane, and on the other side of the bracket, we have Lyra Valkyria against Kiana James and Fallon Henley against Cora Jade. And it's interesting what they've done here. If you look at the right side, Kiana James and Fallon Henley, they were a tag team. Now they're no longer partners. They're still enemies. So you look at that and think, well, are they going to do Kiana James and Fallon Henley in the semifinal? No, they're not. I think it'll be Cora Jade and Bird Girl in the semifinals, with Cora going to the finals. That's assuming that Tiffany Stratton doesn't make it to the finals, because they're not going to do heel against heel. And that's a little tougher, because I look at this, Tiffany Stratton would be my pick, but I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure about this now. I'm looking at Roxanne Perez and JC Jane. You know, it's the same thing where they want you to think that it's going to be Gigi and JC in the semifinals, but I would think that Tiffany and Roxanne have a better shot at that. And then it's a matter of, is it a heel or a babyface on the right-hand side? I think that will dictate whether or not Tiffany Stratton goes to the finals or Roxanne Perez goes to the finals. Because Tiffany could win that championship, I could see that. But I could also see Cora Jade walking out with the title. to put the belt back on Roxanne doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Gigi Dolan is not ready for that spot. JC, I could see them going all the way with JC. I could see that. And then you could save a future Gigi Dolan title win, really build that up and have her take the belt from JC Jane. But I mean, Lyra Valkyria, she's not going to win the title. Kiana James, no. Fallon Henley, no. Cora Jade, yes, I could see that. So I see Cora Jade, Tiffany Stratton, and JC Jane, you know, I'll throw her in there as a wild card. I think those are the three likeliest possibilities. But that is the bracket for the NXT tournament. Just released earlier this evening. Hot off the presses. That's your tournament bracket for NXT. I assume that tournament kicks off this Tuesday, I would assume. Later today. It's already Tuesday. So I'm assuming later today is when it is going to begin. Jackie Fowler, thank you for the $61 super chat that she dropped before I even went live tonight. What I was going to say is that triggered the Men on a Mission super chat. If you look at the list of the donation amounts in the description, there's one where I'm singing the Men on a Mission WrestleMania rap. So I had the program open. I was getting ready earlier. I'm like doing stuff. And I hear myself singing Men on a Mission. I'm like, where is that coming from? Like for 3 seconds, I couldn't imagine where that was coming from. So you put the fear of God into me there, Jackie. Thank you. Do you think Sammy and KO could lose the tag team titles to the Judgment Day? Then they can show up on both shows. That might be a way to get the bloodline against the Judgment Day at Money in the Bank. And Jay takes the losing fall after accidentally hitting Roman. I don't see that happening. I don't think the Judgment Day is going to take the tag team title. I mean, it's an interesting idea. I'm not against the idea. But do I see that happening? I don't see that playing out. I think Sammy and KO, I think, are going to have those belts for a little while. We've got Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. A triple threat match in a tournament bracket. I honestly like the idea. We don't always need a standard one-on-one match in a first round match. J-Glow. WrestleMania 18 featured The Rock against Hulk Hogan. I thought at the time it should have been Hogan Austin. Did WWE miss an opportunity or did they make the right call? I mean, the bigger match would have been Hogan and Austin. They missed the opportunity to do it during that run when Hogan first came in. Hogan Rock, though, look. You know, it's hard for me to sit here and say they made a mistake because that match is so great. It's a 5-star match. 5-star match, helped by a 5-star crowd. It's one of my favorite WrestleMania matches of all time. So I can't sit here and say it was a mistake because it's a huge match. One of the best matches in WrestleMania history. One of the most memorable matches that they have ever done. So in hindsight, no. I think they did make the right call. I don't think that Hogan Austin would have been as good of a match as Hogan Rock. Hogan Rock was the better match. But the fact we never got Hogan Austin at all was a huge missed opportunity. Groovy Goose, the $4.99. Which would have been a better fit for their respective stable? Chris Hero in The Shield or Mark Jindrak in Evolution? Thank you for the fun streams. I don't know that either one of those things honestly would have worked out as well as what they ended up doing, but I'll go Jindrak and Evolution. I think Chris Hero in The Shield would have been a big mistake. Yeah, I think that was a Vince McMahon thing, and he made the right call on that. I think you have the two kind of workhorses at the time in Rollins and Ambrose, and then you have Roman Reigns, who was kind of in the enforcer role. If you have Chris Hero in that role that Roman Reigns was in, there's a sameness to all of them, right? It's three indie guys who are all more or less the same size, and it just doesn't work as well. So it worked out a lot better than doing it the way that they did. You know, even though we can joke now, you know, the CM Punk thing at the time, you know, keep Roman strong and all that stuff. Yeah, because they obviously knew from day one that, hey, this Roman guy, you know, he could be the guy one day. So we're going to protect him. We're going to build around him. But Roman and the Shield over Chris Hero was absolutely the right decision. Slim Yoshi, I know some people want Seth against AJ, but I think it would be more fitting for Seth to beat Edge. Plus, AJ should not be taking a loss if there is going to if he is going to face Roman. There's no indication of him facing Roman. I could see Bobby Lashley against Roman before AJ faces Roman. Yeah, I agree with you. I think the final is going to be Seth and Edge with Seth going over. I'd rather see Seth and AJ, but I think it'll be Seth and Edge. Naughty Delicious is back again. I know exactly what Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar want to talk about. They will talk about who will win in a sweet Saudi money street fight. EJ Slemp, every year Meltzer and Alvarez call out WWE for their WrestleMania attendance number. Will they do the same for All In? My guess is no. If they make up the number, they will. What makes you think they'll make up the number? WWE has a history of making up numbers. We don't know if Tony Khan's going to make up a number or not. We have to wait and see. You're already doing the whataboutism, and the show hasn't even happened yet. The show is 4 months away. EJ is ready, man. EJ's ready for the whataboutism here 4 months in advance. Cameron Johnson, I think JD McDonagh should have been in one of the three-way matches. I disagree. You have to establish him first on the main roster. Nobody on the main roster knows who he is. Nobody cares. Why would he be in one of the triple threat matches? He has not wrestled a single match on Raw. Why would he be in one of the triple threat matches to compete for the World Heavyweight Championship? I mean, just think about that. It doesn't make sense. And he's not winning. He's not winning. So you're going to put him in there and have him lose in his debut. What sense does that make? Now, you could have had him win a triple threat. Maybe your idea is that he wins one of the triple threats and then loses in the semifinal, and it looks like, you know, it makes him look strong because he went to the semis, and that could be a way of establishing him. I can see that point of view. I disagree with it. But I could see if that's where you're coming from, I could see it. Not something I would have done. I would not beat him in his very first night on Monday Night Raw. Because there ain't no way he'd be going to the finals. Naughty Delicious says Triple H could be tempted to give Alba Fire and Isla Dawn a set of new SmackDown Women's Tag Team titles and vacate the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. Now, it's a very simple solution. The NXT Women's Tag Team titles and the WWE Women's Tag Team titles should be merged as one. And you have one set of Women's Tag Team champions who defend on Raw, they defend on SmackDown, and if they want, they defend in NXT. The Women's Tag Team division in NXT has been gutted. It is dead right now. Dead. They drafted their two best teams away from the brand. They took them away from Shawn Michaels. Kiana James and Fallon Henley were a team recently. They're no longer a team. They broke up. They were going to put Sol Ruka together with Danny Palmer, who just made her debut last Tuesday. Sol Ruka has a torn ACL. She just had surgery. So that team, kaput, before it even got started. They basically have no women's tag team division anymore in NXT. Merge the belts. Let them float to whatever brand they want them to defend them on. You do not need two sets of women's tag team champions. And as far as who gets them, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. You want to get them over, you want to make a statement, they become the WWE women's tag team champions. That's what you get. That solves that problem. Dennis Diaz with the $4.99. Gotta ask you, but you don't have to answer. What is your personal favorite wrestling weekly show on television right now? Consistently the one that I would say is the show that gives me the most entertainment. Well, you know, When the Bloodline stuff was kind of at its peak, especially with Sammy, SmackDown was the A show. And I would have said SmackDown. I will say Dynamite right now. Although SmackDown has its weeks where it's still pretty good, it's not as good as it was consistently before. So if anything, it's a race between SmackDown and Dynamite. I'll go Dynamite. It's definitely not Raw. Raw's at the bottom. I'll go Dynamite by a little bit. SmackDown's kind of neck and neck with it, though, right there. The Carlosis with the $13 Super Chat. Question on when Goldberg's streak was broken back in WCW. Universally accepted that the taser was one of the worst ideas WCW came up with. That's saying something. How would you have ended Goldberg's streak? I would have had DDP beat him at Halloween Havoc 2 months before. Hydrograd with the $50 Gunthar Super Chat. With how great of a pay-per-view we got on Saturday, it got me thinking, in your opinion, was this year's show the best backlash that we have gotten since 2000? I cannot think of a better one since then, although I remember 2016 being a very good show. Was 2016 the one that opened with Rollins and Miz for the Intercontinental title? I want to say that was 2016. Maybe it was 2018. Might have been 2018. It was. And I said the other night, I was debating, was it better than 2000? I don't know that I would... There was nothing on the show on Saturday, even though I really liked the Bad Bunny stuff. I thought it was a lot of fun. There's nothing that can beat, you know, what we got in that main event at Backlash 2000. And Austin coming back and the big pop at the end and Rock winning the title. I mean, that's an all-time moment. That's basically the match and the finish we would have had at WrestleMania that year had Austin been ready to come back a month earlier. But it is the best Backlash since at least 2000. It's a great show on Saturday. The Real CS02. Cheers to the King of All Wrestling Podcasts, the Sala Monster. Real CS, I appreciate that very much. Juan Sanchez, better G1 final, Danielson versus Lesnar or AJ against Moxley? Danielson against Lesnar. There you go. Silver Tower, did you hire AEW's production staff? I think I may have. I think they infiltrated the stream there for a few minutes. I don't know, my microphone just disappeared. It vanished. Shy Lou, thank you for the $19.99 very much. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor, shout out to Angelo Dawkins predicting a Lakers in 5. Lakers need one more win against Golden State. I popped in on the Knicks game earlier. I saw they were losing, so I assume they lost. I don't know how that game ended, but they were down by a lot. So I'm assuming they lost. Dom Joseph, has there ever been a time you saw a wrestler for the first time and knew they were going to be huge? For me, it's Roman. For me, it's Brock Lesnar. When Brock Lesnar debuted in 2002, the night after WrestleMania, and he just obliterated Spike Dudley. And then I'm looking at this guy and the fucking traps on this guy. I mean, he looked like a giant mutant. And then I saw they had Paul Heyman with him, and I said, okay, they obviously see something in this guy. But he just looked... And just moved around unlike anybody else they had on the roster at that time. And it was pretty clear to me that, you know, he was going to be pretty big. I didn't know he would go on to have all the success that he had in the UFC and everything else, but it was pretty clear to me this Brock Lesnar guy was going to be doing pretty well for himself. Uffman Entertainment. Buy or sell, hotter international crowd in reaction to hometown talent. Backlash 2023 or Canadian Stampede 1997. The crowd in Calgary for the Canadian Stampede main event, the building was literally shaking. Like the hard camera was shaking in the opening minutes of that main event. And it's hard to put into words, I guess, how big that family is and Brett is and was in Calgary, even today, but especially at that time with that angle being as hot as it was with, you know, the U.S. against Canada and everything. I mean, it was great on Saturday, don't get me wrong, and Bad Bunny is a huge star in Puerto Rico, and he got a great reaction. It was a monster reaction. And Carlito came out, he got a monster reaction too. It's kind of why I kind of hate these questions sometimes, because I don't want it to feel like I'm diminishing what we saw on Saturday. But Canadian Stampede, that match in that building was just beyond insane. I would have loved to have been in the building myself then. That's one of those shows where, like, man, I wish I was in. So I gotta go Canadian Stampede. Joel Naranjo. Hey, Solo, now that KO is tag team champion, does that make him a Grand Slam champion? Let's see. He's a Universal Champion, Intercontinental Champion, United States Champion, I believe, right? Was he a U.S. champ? I think he was a U.S. champ. Tag team champion. I don't know if you want to count NXT champion. I don't even know anymore what counts as Grand Slam. They've added new titles. Now we have the new World Heavyweight title. Like, there's been so many of them. Like, it was so simple 25 years ago. If you were the WWF champion and the Intercontinental champion and the tag team champion, then you were a triple threat or a triple crown, right? Now, it's like, and then they added the European title, and then Shawn Michaels was a Grand Slam champion. That was easy enough to understand. But now there's been so many titles and different lineages, and now they're making another title, and it's like, I don't know, what's Grand Slam? What's triple crown? Is there something above Grand Slam, super Grand Slam? I don't even know what constitutes that. I mean, I guess he would be. Just, I don't know what they consider Grand Slam anymore. Roscoe P. Coltrane. Love the name. Love the name. Thank you for all that you do, mate. Thank you, Roscoe. Shout out, Dukes of Hazzard. Love it. Justin Glasner. I'd love a Vicente McMahon chat back from vacation. Well, welcome back. We actually have a Vicente super chat. It pops up every now and then. It's one of the randos. Pops up every now and then. Zombified Guitars, happy birthday, Solomonster. What? Happy birthday, Solomonster? Alright. I didn't know it was my birthday, but hey. Send in some birthday super chats, guys. It's Solomonster's second birthday here of the year. We got two of them this year. Naughty Delicious Chicken with Flavor. E-Drones against AEW Bots in a Squid Game tug of war. I would love for the WWE Drones and the AEW Bots to participate in Squid Game. I would definitely watch that. Luis Belmont Show. I will take an interest in the Brock against Cody match only if it is a hardcore match. Well, you're in luck. It's a fight. So that automatically means it's going to be basically anything goes. So looks like you're going to get your wish. Hydrograd with another $20. Hey, Hydrograd, you're really killing it. Backlash 2016 had AJ winning the belt for the first time and Becky winning her first women's title. Miz against Seth opened Backlash 2018, and aside from that match, that show was, in your words, a giant heaping pile of shit. That sounds about right. That sounds like it would have been my review of that show back then. But I do remember that Rollins and Miz match, I think it opened the show, being the best thing on the entire show. Okay, so Backlash 2016, and that would have been AJ taking the belt from Ambrose, right? That's right. Then I remember they did a triple threat match on television with AJ, Ambrose, and Cena that I think opened the show because I think they were trying to get the jump on one of the presidential debates. I remember. The real CSO2 solo. What type of match do you think Brock against Cody Part 2 will be? Well, they're calling it a fight. So, that's what I was kind of saying earlier. Like, are they going to make it an Extreme Rules match? Are they going to make it some sort of, false count anywhere type thing, which I think would make it more fun, more interesting. Last man standing. Or they'll just call it a fight. You know, or a Saudi street fight or something, you know? But a fight implies no disqualification, anything goes. So that's the kind of match it's going to be. And Jason Case with the $10 super chat. I recently drove 10 hours to meet this very special girl in my life. She currently has bad food poisoning, and I was wondering if you could send her some get well wishes. Her name is Harley. Well, Harley, I hope you feel well. I'm sure right now you feel anything but well, but I hope you feel better soon. This too shall pass. And let this be a lesson to never allow Jason Case to cook you a meal. That will never happen again. But unfortunately, when you're in that situation, and I've been there before, it's there's no words that can help make you feel better. You just kind of have to let it work itself out. But get well soon. And Naughty Delicious says, will you review the Rich and Shameless episode of Hulk Hogan against Gawker? I was not planning on it. If I hear good things about it, maybe I'll watch it. But no, I was not planning on watching it. That was not in my plans originally. So we're all caught up. Thank you, man. Thank you, men. And ladies, for all of the super chat love, I do appreciate it. We did smash the goal tonight. The goal was 500 likes. And so thank you. Every time you hit thumbs up on the video, it does help get the video into the recommendeds, which is why I ask you to do that, because it helps out the video. It's not just a vanity thing. It actually helps a lot. So thank you for the 500 likes. Keep hitting that thumbs up. And right now, let's go to Zachariah. Zachariah has a $4.99. Zachariah says, unsanctioned match so that Brock can get his win, but it doesn't go on Cody's loss record, or does Cody need to win at all costs? I mean, the idea that it would go on the record doesn't matter. I mean, they don't do win-loss record acknowledgments on TV, so it doesn't matter. You know, if Cody loses, a loss is a loss in WWE. Whether it's unsanctioned or not doesn't matter. I mean, that's something AEW does. In WWE, it doesn't matter. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Oh, well, look who it is. It's Alexa Bliss, getting more airtime here on my stream than she has on WWE television in months. It is time to be the booker, where we try to book some kick-ass matches. And it doesn't always work out the way that we want it to, but damn it, we're going to keep trying. So we're going to kick things off here with the men. We're going to book ourselves a men's match to begin here on Be the Booker. And we are going to begin with the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. Funny, I was talking about possible stipulations for Brock and Cody earlier. Maybe they would do like a Lion's Den style cage match. And look who popped up here on Be the Booker. The innovator of the Lion's Den himself, Ken Shamrock. I think Ken Shamrock is actually underrated. Doesn't get enough love. Ken Shamrock going to go one-on-one with Kane. WWF champion for one night. He looks good with that belt. And that belt does look good, doesn't it? Ken Shamrock and Kane. That's an Attitude Era match right there if I've ever seen one. Women's Be the Booker. We begin with the reigning, Impact Knockouts champion, Deonna Purrazzo. Of course, we have Trinity Fatu, who just joined the ranks of the Knockouts division in Impact, so she may be challenging Deonna soon for that very championship. We'd be kind of funny if we land on Naomi. Naomi is in here. And we land on Tori Wilson. Tori Wilson is maybe the most beautiful woman that I have ever seen in the wrestling business. But Tori Wilson against Deonna Purrazzo would not be a good match. One thing that Tori Wilson is not known for or remembered for is her great wrestling acumen inside the ring. So unfortunately, that is a buzzer from Solomon. So now let's go to the tag teams. Kick things off here with El Torito and Los Matadores. There's El Torito. Somebody asked me the other night about El Torito. There he is. There's the bull. You want the bull, you get the horns. Los Matadores. Taking on Beautiful Bobby and Sweet Stan. Midnight Express. That'd be a great wrestling match. The Colognes against the Midnight Express. Can't say that wouldn't be a good match. Just to have Cornette and the Bull outside the ring together would be just ridiculous. To have Jim Cornette on one side of the ring with his racket and have the Bull chasing him around the ring, I mean, come on. You can't tell me that wouldn't be entertaining. You can't tell me that wouldn't be entertaining. You got to give that the bell. Come on. So I am going to be live with you again on Wednesday night after Dynamite. Big Dynamite main event coming up this Wednesday. It's going to be Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley inside of a steel cage. So that's coming up on Dynamite. Of course, Friday will be the first night of the new SmackDown roster. Two more triple threat matches. AJ Styles is on the show. We're going to get Bobby Lashley, Sheamus, Rey Mysterio, Austin Theory, Edge. They're all part of the World Heavyweight Title Tournament, or as I have dubbed it, the race for second place. Continues on Friday night. I'll be live with you then as well. Hey, Winston Smith, thank you for being a Sound Off superstar, being a channel member. Don't forget, check out the new Sound Off Gamer. It just went up earlier today, episode number 6. And if you missed episode 807 of the podcast, a lot of good ground covered on the podcast on Sunday. Be sure you go ahead and check that out as well. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for all the love. Hit that thumbs up on your way out. And I will see you back here live and in living color on Wednesday night for the AEW Dynamite stream. Until then, vaya con Dios.